God in two generations that he took up a cross, went up an ugly hill called Golgotha. But when he got there, it was called Calvary. He died, but he didn't stay dead. The sun refused to shine. A centurion began to preach and say, surely, surely, he is the Son of God. But when he died, the Bible says, he said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. So Joseph bought a tomb, put him down in the tomb. But the Bible says that on the third day, the earth began to quake and the rock rolled away. And he got up early. Say, early, early Sunday morning with all power. Anybody know this power?
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holding Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14, 15, and 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14, 15, and 16. Would you stand to your feet in honor of the word of the Lord? Our reader will read these verses for us.
1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Verse 15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Verse 16. Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord as we speak from this subject, a message from a spiritual father. A message from a spiritual father. Brothers and sisters, when we look at Paul's writings here to the Corinthians and the Corinthian believers, he's dealing with the nature of apostleship. He's dealing with a plethora of problems in a myriad of moments that he himself is very upset with the spiritual sons who are not operating in the spirit of truth. One of the things that I love about this writing is, especially on Father's Day, is the fact that Paul takes the helm as the spiritual father, and he puts things in order. He shows and he shares with his spiritual sons those things that they're doing that is not like Christ, and it is not like the example that he himself has set. And because he is away from them, as some children will do, they will act up and act out according to their own desires and forget the principles that they've been taught and that they know to be right. One of the things that I love about Paul is he said, listen, I want you to, and if you read from the first verse all the way through the 14th, you'll get a much better understanding. Don't have the time to deal with all the problems, but you will see them there. And he highlights and spotlights them. And he lets them know that they are not acting like his children, his spiritual sons. He's disappointed with the way that they are operating, and they had better get it together. He writes this letter, he says, listen, one, not to shame them. His problem was not to embarrass them. It was not to offend them as much as it was to correct them. Because the truth of the matter is, so goes the spiritual father, so goes the heavenly father. And the heavenly father chastens those whom he loves. And so the spiritual father chastens those whom he loves, his sons in the ministry. And he wants them to get it together, to get it right. One, because they're following him. But there is some mishap, some misstep that has happened, and Paul wants to correct that. So read verse 14 again, because I want to share some things about his fatherhood as a spiritual leader. Verse 14.
Verse 14. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you.
Now, first of all, I want you to see, as a spiritual father, Paul cares. Somebody say he cares. You see, when a father, spiritual or natural, biological, etc., cares for his children, he don't let them have their own way when their own way is not the right way. A true father is going to call his sons and daughters into correction because he knows that what they're doing now is going to lead to destruction later. And if a parent truly loves his or her child, they're going to make sure that they stay on the straight and the narrow. Paul cares. He's not even present, but he's getting the word. How did he get the word? He heard it through the grapevine. It don't take much for you to hear folk are doing well or folk are doing wrong. And Paul has heard some things that has disturbed his spirit about his spiritual sons, and he wants to correct that because he knows in correcting that, he's going to correct the way that the church will go, because these sons are apostles, preachers, pastors, evangelists, etc. And if they are wrong, the message they're going to be sending out to others will be wrong. So he straightens it out. He gets them straight because he cares. Verse 15.
Verse 15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel.
All right, now listen at this. The second thing Paul wants them to recognize is not only that does he care for them, but secondly, he covers them. He covers them. So I want you to say, cover them. All right. He covers them because that's his role and responsibility as a spiritual father over his children. Now, he covers them because he wants them to understand, though they may have 10,000 instructors, 10,000 teachers, 10,000 tutors, they don't have but one father. They may have the ability to learn this from this place, pick up that from that place, get this from this institution, get that from this ministry, get this, that, the other, and on and on, and all the rest of these things. But one of the things that they've got to recognize is that those teachers who may be teaching them a lesson is teaching them a lesson that they are imparting to them. And Paul wants them to understand that Paul's decision as a father to lead them is not just for a lesson, but for a lifetime. Yes, sir. He wants them to recognize that they are in a place and a position where they are learning a lot, but all that they're learning is lining up. That's why you got to be careful where you eat from, what tables you eat from, what places you get this, that, the other. I watch you sometime, I see you sometime, and you come in with things or you say some things, and I can pinpoint where most of you got some of that stuff from, because it ain't what I'm teaching. And it's not biblical. So it means you've been at somebody's table that's not been cooking right. Now, I'm moving from Paul to John right now, because I know the food that I serve. And when I get folk who come in introducing stuff that has no biblical basis to it, but it does sound good, and folk grab hold and gravitate to those cliches and catchy sayings and all of that stuff that make folk want to shout but have no substance to it, it's my job to correct that foolishness, because you are building your hope on something less than the word of God and the promises of Christ. Listen, what you do out there, I don't know about many times and can't stop that. But when you bring it in here, we got to straighten it out. Because if it doesn't line up with the word, it is my responsibility. God's going to hold me responsible for what goes on in this house, not the house down the street, round the corner, downtown, etc. This house. And so that's important, just as Paul was making clear. We have got to follow truth. Follow the word. Do things right. Know that God wants us to walk in a godly way and have high examples of how Christ has touched our lives, that we might touch other folk lives. So Paul covers them far beyond the teachings of all of the various teachers that they learn this from and learn that from and get this from and get that from. He makes clear that I cover you because you belong to me. You belong to me. Now let me say this to you, because, you know, I remember, especially in my younger days, when I used to do a lot of revivals and do a lot of preaching here and there and everywhere, and I'd go to other church, and several of the members would follow me to the other church, and I had one sister to say to me after the service, "Oh, Pastor, why you don't preach like that at our church?" And I looked at it, and I said, "Well, why y'all don't say amen like that at our church?" And she said, "We do say amen like that." I said, no, let me tell you what is real. When I go to another man's house, I'm going there to encourage, to uplift, and to inspire only. I'm not going to his house to whip his children, correct his children, straighten his children out. That's his job to do. Sad is the father who brings another father in to whip their child or children. And so I said, when I'm there, it's a whole different tenor and tone, because as an evangelist, listen, I'm there to challenge them. But when I'm home, I'm here to change you. There is a difference. Some of y'all didn't catch that. You know, it's all right to shout, have a good time, to enjoy this. I get this all the time. But here's my problem. I can't enjoy my preaching and my teaching to my people if they're not understanding and getting what I'm saying. I'm not here to entertain. I'm here to edify. I'm here to give you substance so you can handle your storms, your trials, your situations, and the problems that present themselves to you. And you don't have to call everybody and cry out to everybody. You know how to call them up and tell them what you want for yourself, because you've learned from the Word. And yes, it's wonderful when we can have great celebration services. But preaching is a two-way street. It's a call and a response. And if I call and you don't answer, well, we ain't about to have no celebration. It's not going to work like that, because if I don't know you getting what I'm saying, then that adds 10 minutes to the sermon. Because I got to take our time and explain to you what I think you're missing. Because when you ought to be shouting and you're sitting, something's wrong with that. And so here Paul deals with this reality, and he makes it clear again. Read 15 again.
Verse 15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors mm-hmm. in Christ, mm-hmm. yet have ye not many fathers. Mm-hmm. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel.
All right. Now, not only does Paul say, I care about you, and not only does he say, I cover you in the essence of this word, but the third thing he wants them to be clear about is he's connected with them. He's connected with him. Say, connected with him. Every true spiritual father is connected with his spiritual children. My job is not to please you. It's to prepare you. My job is not to come here and sensationalize you. Though it's a wonderful thing when we can come together and rejoice and praise God and get the message together in the spirit. I rejoice when you get it, that I'm saying to you that God has held me responsible and accountable to give to you. And when you get it, I get it, we get it, it's time to shout. But if not, I've got to take out time and tell it to you another way. I've got to take out time and figure out, is the problem on the presenter's side, or is the problem on the people's side? And whichever side it is, we've got to work it out. Now, this connection, Paul is making clear, is stronger than any teacher, any tutor, any person who is sharing information with you, because their responsibilities stop at their preaching and teaching, where minds continue in the pastoring. Did you get what I just said? See, they can tell you a whole lot of stuff, and while they are going to be held accountable for whatever they say, it's a different matter when you're preaching and you're pastoring. because pastoring has more to do with that that is underneath the skin, that that is connected spiritually, that with the development and the defining of you as a person under the ministry that God has called you to, which in this case is mine. And I've got to answer for it.
Yes, sir.
I've got to give an account for it.
Yes, sir.
That I might do it with joy and not with grief. Because the Bible says that is unprofitable, Hebrews chapter 13, for you. If I make an account to God about how you're acting and how you're talking and how you're walking and how you're living, God is going to rain down his terror on you after I have done everything I can do to correct you and give you information that is what thus said the Lord. And my brothers and sisters, make no mistake about it. Paul does not advocate following men, because he talks about those who are with cliques here and cliques there, and they're with this group and with that group and all of these things. Paul wanted to make clear that we have got to learn the structure of God. But in the 16th verse, look at what he says.
Verse 16, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me.
Now listen at it, because he was talking about, you know, some of you follow Apollos, and some of you say, I follow Paul, etc. He said, Apollos water, and I sow the seed, or vice versa. He says, but God gives the increase. Don't get caught up on man, because that's where you get messed up at. Don't hang your hat on this hook, because it's this person. Because listen, ain't no person with no message is greater than the message of Jesus Christ. And if they're not preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified, and he is the one who has saved us, and he is Lord of us, he's preaching the wrong message, and you're shouting about the wrong thing. And so it's important for you to see that he's making clear, I want you to follow me. Not everybody was he talking to. He was talking to his sons in the ministry, his spiritual children. Why? Because he birthed them through the gospel sake. They became saved under his ministry. God gave them to him to develop for the purpose that God has for their lives. And so he says, listen, I beseech you to follow me. Now this word follow don't mean walk behind me and come after me. It means to imitate me. To imitate me. And that's where I'm bringing this message to a close, because here is the truth of the matter. Something is wrong when the sons and the daughters spiritually can't imitate their spiritual father. I listen at you pray. I listen at you speak. I listen at you teach. I listen, and I can tell whether you're my sons or daughters or you are something else. Some of y'all will catch that on your way home. Because there is something about the spirit that connects us. It's something about the spirit that God has joined together that there ought to be some sign. Some sign. I hate to use this illustration, but when y'all get quiet like that, I got to go where y'all are. That was this man who had been married to this woman some many years, and she had 8 children for him. But the last child didn't quite look like the husband. He was dark. She was dark. All seven boys and girls were dark. But that last one was lily bright. Hair was different from their hair. Everything about that child just disturbed him. He went to her and he said, baby, he said, we have had seven children together and they all look like me. He said, but I'm a little disturbed. This last one, I don't know nobody in my family that this baby looks like. She said, oh, this is your baby, daddy. This is your baby. And he said, I'm serious. I don't think this boy is mine. She said, it's your baby. I promise you, it's your baby. Well, boy started growing up, and as he grew up, he looked even less like the man. And the man was on his dying bed in the hospital. His wife was right there by his side. And he said, baby, he said, now, ain't nothing I can do. And my time has come. He said, but before I go to glory, I just want to know, this last boy, is he mine? The woman said, yes, he's yours. He said, baby, this is the last time I'm going to ask you. Because I feel something all underneath. Is this baby mine? And tears started rolling down her eyes. They were rolling down, and he said, tell me, just tell me. All you got to do is tell me. She said, yes, that baby's yours. As a matter of fact, that's the only one that's yours. I mean to go there on y'all, but sometimes y'all act like y'all for somebody else. That's all I'm trying to tell you. That's all I'm trying to tell you. That's all I'm trying to tell you. But I think I'm going to go and close it here. Mm-hmm. One Sunday evening, a young man, 45 years old, went to visit his 80-year-old father. And they were sitting on the couch. And the young man started reading the paper. And his father was looking at him because he was such a fine young man, grown up to become an accomplished young man, very intelligent. He was proud of his young son. And while he was there, sitting there with his son having a conversation, the old man looked in the window and he saw a bird. And he turned to his son and said, son, what's that in the window? And the son said, it's a crow. And the daddy said, The boy kept on reading, and the father said a few minutes later, son, what's that in the window? And the boy looked up and he said, daddy, it's a crow. The old man said, Well, the boy kept on reading, and about 3 minutes later, the daddy said, son, can you tell me what that is in the window there? And the boy said, daddy, I've told you twice, that's a crow.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info at greaterkingdavid.org.